welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things 13th Age. I'm your host, JM, and with me, as always, are Becca and Mark.
Hello.
Howdy.
We got a great episode for you today. We're actually talking with Cody Sandrowski, who is the software developer at Foundry, and Matt Smith, who did the 13th Age rule set and sheet for Foundry. We're kind of revisiting Foundry. It was one of our more popular episodes. A lot of people commented back on. Cody, you and Matt reached out, so welcome to Iconic.
Thanks for having us.
So we kind of start all these episodes off in the same way. How did you guys get into gaming, and what games are you currently playing right now?
So I started out back in high school doing everything I could to avoid D&D. I didn't want to be that level of nerd, but then my wife talked me into it during college and immediately got hooked. I went from never playing D&D to looking through the fourth edition DMG, picking up everything I could, and then I've basically been running it ever since then. But I had a pretty long stint playing OSR games like Labyrinth Lord and Swords and Wizardry, and then picked up 13th Age whenever it came out, and it's kind of been my forever D&D since then. But I do bounce around between systems. I'm currently running 13th Age at the moment. We're at 9th level, about to finish up the campaign, and this summer I'm hoping to pick up a Dark Sun campaign in Dungeon World. So,
oh, very cool.
Hopping around.
What about you, Cody?
I have a lot of friends online, you know, people from around the U.S. or around the world and such, so tabletop games are one of many ways for us to be able to play and communicate and, you know, keep up with each other. We moved from Roll20 to Foundry back... I don't know. Foundry was pretty new. I saw that there was a 13th Age system there. I, you know, moved over and then started, you know, that's how I met Matt, started working with him on the system as well to add in things. And now I'm streaming every Monday 13th Age on the Pelgrim Press Twitch.
Excellent.
In this last year, with everybody being virtual in work and play, we've seen an explosion of virtual tabletops and other virtual options for games. For someone new to the virtual tabletop scene, what would be your pitch for Foundry?
So as someone who recently joined the team, I suppose this makes sense for me. I was involved in the community already, you know, making third-party modules and add-ons. One of the things that drew me to Foundry was the fact that in Roll20, I was playing 13th Age the first couple sessions there, and I just wanted a way to make combat a little faster, right? And so I want to compare the attack to the defense. It really didn't seem that hard. You have to pay like 10 or 15 a month to have access to the API. It took me like 2 days to read their documentation and figure it out. And the best I could do, and you know, I am a software developer, and this is still the best I could do, was output all the defenses and if they hit or miss, because it had no concept of what you were targeting. Right. So it'd be like, you know, 18 versus AC hit, MD miss, PD hit, and you'd have to go pick which one to go from there. I went to Foundry and I was able to do that in 30 minutes and it worked like exactly how I want it and immediately drew me in. I just recently joined the team as a second developer and, you know, now I get to help work on those core features that enable that kind of speed for people to hook into. So my main pitch and draw is that Foundry has an open enough API that other people can leverage it for really cool stuff to make your game faster, cooler, better. There's some crazy stuff people build, like interactive like puzzles and such. It's just insane.
From my angle, the thing for me is it's kind of the power user system, to where if you don't like Roll20 or something having an outage, you can host it yourself. If there's something that you want to make work and you have a little bit of JavaScript and HTML skills, you can just make that happen. The API is super strong in that regard. But the counter to that is it is a power user system. So like if you just want to get some tokens on a table, you know, something like Owlbear Rodeo might be a good fit too. So it's like there's a niche for it that fits really good. And one of the things that I wanted to do with the 13th Age system was make my games easier to run. And so I'm hoping that makes it easier for a lot of people as well. But it's kind of in general, it's a robust system that there's still a lot of room to grow on it because it's so young.
We previously gave our take on Foundry, and specifically the 13th Age aspect, since that's what we do. So what was your reaction when you listened to it? And is there anything you want to bring up that's maybe changed since then?
Yeah. So I listened to that, and the funny thing was I was kind of nodding along the whole time because... Like I said, I made the system for myself. So because Foundry came out, the first alpha, in late 2018. And I picked it up right away and asked, like, you know, what's the API in this? Because I want to make a system for it. So I made it for myself. And then probably early 2020 was whenever I started picking up more and more users and having to kind of think of other people and start to explain things. And so like last summer was when we started to really add all of the SRD content into the compendiums, for example. Before that, there really wasn't any content. You had to make everything from scratch. And then we did further improvements over that early this year so that we have all the SRD classes are in there. All their roles are included. So you don't have to remember the syntax or anything. And then we did a big documentation effort to explain all that. So if you do want to go out of the box, it's a bit more clear as to you can do these things to make it work. And then the other thing is I kind of just made the sheet based on the very first fifth edition sheet. And it was kind of hodgepodge because of that. I have a graphic design background. So last December, I made a mock-up of what the sheet could look like. And then we have a currently alpha version of that new sheet redesign with much nicer aesthetic. Everything is much more cleanly organized and it's just generally a lot easier to use. And I want to do that throughout the whole system. So same thing for monster stat blocks, for power item forms, all of those different things, and just kind of make a second pass through all of these. If this has had a few years to kind of expand and grow and then just make it better.
And to add on to that, when I first started with the system, like there wasn't even support for like, you know, magic items. You had to type in everything that you're going to do, which was, you know, still nicer than Roll20 set up with that. You have to like set up with those weird drop downs and break down the power into multiple triggers. I liked Matt's system where you just type what it says and like it's in the core book and you're good. But now my players recently, to break themselves out of jail, rolled up new characters. They did that in like 15-20 minutes because with a brand new system. It now actually shows you your progression chart and your available options at each level. And you just click the check marks and you hit import and you're good to go. And those updates will actually be live for the public by the time this airs. I think we're going live in 2 days from now when we're recording. And that's what we had handed to you guys if you got a chance to look at it.
Yeah, I will say, one, I really appreciated the color coding. Just the layout of the sheet was the nicest that I've ever encountered in Foundry. So well done on that, Matt. I ran a little bit of Warhammer and a little bit of Axe on Foundry, and by far it was the nicest looking sheet. I can empathize with the Roll20 thing. I tried to get 4th edition up and running in Roll20, and it felt like I was programming every power in manually. I like the new automation. It looks great, and I'm looking forward to seeing even like more what you guys have planned and stored for 13th Age.
Just to add on, Nick has Foundry and we play a monthly Dark Eye game. And at first he was building everything. And he's like, hey, Mark, since you're the GM, there's some Dark Eye modules we can buy. $25 was fantastic. And it made everything easier. And we just ran it this last weekend. The sheets there are nice and I enjoyed running it immensely.
So I know you just kind of did a high-level overview of what's going to be new in this new set. And so we're recording this on the 18th. This will go live middle of May. So we're going to be well past the release date of this. But for somebody who may just be listening to this and go, hey, there's something new, can you walk through kind of the actual updates to the sheet and the rule set? Or did you kind of cover all of those already?
Yeah. So some of the stuff is already live, the compendium things and the documentation in particular, because those were an active impediment to people's games, and we wanted to get those out as soon as possible. Whereas the sheet redesign was a much bigger step, and we wanted to have additional testing. And so that was what we had kind of put behind our Patreon to kind of iron out the kinks in it first. So the main thing is we tried to make sure that everything you could do before is still there and still present. So the overall kind of layout is kind of in the same spot. One big usability improvement, everything that's rollable or interactive has the same kind of overall color. So if you hover over like the HP field, it'll highlight blue and you can see that. And everything that can be rolled has a little blue D20 to the left of it. So like your initiative, saving throws, all that kind of stuff. Another big one, icon rolls are part of this now. before we, you could put the icon bonus and you could roll them, but there wasn't like a way to track that. So now whenever you do a roll, it will store those and show them next to the icon if you have any fives or sixes. And if you want to manually tweak those, you just click them and it will cycle through five, six, and blank. We've added background rolls. So before you had to roll from the ability name, but now you can roll from either the ability or the background, and it lets you choose the opposite, whichever one you are. So if you pick a background, you just pick the relevant ability and vice versa. But small quality of life improvement on that. Resources in general got a big improvement. So for example, commanders now have an option to roll their command points directly. There's a dice in their command point section that they can use to roll that. There's still more to do on that. We don't have it fully connected to all the feats and talents yet. So if you have like, you know, a D4 plus one or something on your command point, that's not supported yet. But in general, you can do like the basic roll and you can tweak it further if you have custom stuff. And then the other big thing is the actual power section. So we used a new system to make the sheet on the back end in the code. And basically that allows the whole sheet to be a lot more reactive. So if you, you know, make small changes to it, it updates immediately and you can see those. And one example of that is we added a text filter to the top of the powers. So if you start to type in a power's name, it will filter down and show that specific power. And there's a lot more that we can do with that I haven't done yet. An example is on the magic item section. I also included the bonuses in that text filter. So if you search for like melee plus one, it will filter down to your items that have a melee bonus. And there's just some cool stuff with those filters that I'd like to do in the future that I haven't done yet. But in general, the whole theme of this was just making it look nice and improving the usability, because that's kind of been the sore point on the system.
The biggest one you missed that I can think of is we now have a button for short and long rests, which isn't quite like, they don't give them those names in the core book, but like they exist. So a quick rest will do, you know, end a battle, you roll your recoveries until you're 50% or more health. You roll your recharges to see if you get them back or not. And a full rest, you get back all your dailies, all your health, all your recoveries, things like that. So you can now at the end of a battle hit the quick rest button when the GM says so. It'll output a little card saying, hey, I rolled two recoveries to get you above 50%. You rolled, you had spent these recharges and you got these two back. Which is really nice for, you know, my players were in the past forgetting. It's like, we'd be halfway into the next battle, they're like, oh, I never rolled my recharge for this, actually. And it's like, did you forget? Or are you just trying to pull one up? Now it's like, nope, if you didn't hit the quick rest button, you don't get it.
Oh, man, you hit them that first time, and they're like, oh, I'm dead. And you're like, why are you dead? Oh, I don't think I healed up, above 50% after that last fight. That is a great quality of life improvement. Like, I really like that.
Yeah.
We also added some improvements to the full heal ups, or not full heal ups, to recoveries. So if you click recovery, you'll get a dialogue now, and that'll give you options for a regular recovery, free recovery, or one of the various potion types. So you get some more choice on that as well. And then one nice kind of last minute addition that has been really well received is we added a night mode to the sheet. Basically, everyone in my group has already switched over to it, so it kind of came up at a whim on a suggestion. And
it really should be the default. Now that we have it, I know we threw it in ad hoc, but it really should be the default.
That's awesome. Hearing easy usability and also like just intuitiveness, that makes me super excited about going back to Foundry again, because yeah, I'm not a coding person like my brother is. That's his job. He does coding. And I'm like, I don't know what this is. I know there's a C++ something or not. Like, so just if I, as kind of your regular Joe Schmo, can walk in and be like, okay, I know which button to push, like that's something I really enjoy. So
yeah, 13th Age really hit, as our system implementation at least, hit the point of you could do all the standard rules, and then we could start focusing on actually making that easy and nice looking, things like that. We're not paid to do this. This is just volunteer community effort that we do, on weekends and such, as we solely improve the system for ourselves and others. We've only fairly recently started putting early access builds behind our Patreon, and that's just just as a way to buy us some coffee, you know, for our weekends. It's, you know, it's not what we're doing as a job.
Yeah. And one thing in the system that's kind of opinionated and that I sort of picked early on is the system doesn't have like preset fields for everything. So if you have an attack, you don't say like strength and level and then it does everything. It's all just a text field where you use inline rolls and you specify like D20 plus your standard bonuses, which is your, you know, level and escalation die, and then whatever ability modifier. But the reason I kind of made that decision early on is 13th Age has a lot of corner cases, and I knew that if I put fields in for all of those, there was going to be some power or some third-party power that was not going to play well. And so we've just tried to keep that as a text field, but while also putting in as many kind of ways to simplify that. So like abbreviations that are fairly obvious, like the escalation die is ED, you know, so things like that. And I do think the documentation has helped on that because we've got examples over like, here's what a standard attack roll looks like. But the SRD content being filled out will help that out for most of the classes, I think.
And if you're playing the SRD classes, you don't have to worry about it. You just drag it in from the compendiums or use the import dialog. But since he made that decision, like we use a third-party class called Shield Bearer for one of my players, and it's, you know, it, I go as the GM, set it up for my player, and then they can otherwise treat it as if it were a core class. They just drag it from the compendium. It doesn't quite work with importing yet, but we hope to fix that, you know, hopefully by the time you hear this.
That's really cool. All the work that you guys have done, and thank you so much for, I mean, doing it for free and everything. Are there any additional modules you guys would recommend, for especially for anyone who's new to the 13th Age or Foundry?
I started off making, so Foundry, as a setup, has the core software, which is now what I'm helping to build, which enables all the ways to build a system and modules on top of it, but doesn't actually ship with anything by default. You have to then install a system, which is like all the shape of what a data and all the items and such look like. And that's what Matt and I work on for 13th Age. And if you've tried different systems, you can see they look wildly different. And then modules can add on to those systems or to the core software entirely. A lot of my early work was adding on, like, you know, different stuff to the 13th Age system as a module. For a while, the SRD monsters were a module, or, you know, things, we had alternate character sheets. All those are now part of the core system, except one, which is not going to be ever merged in because it can do more than one system. One of the modules I've been working on is called Dungeon Moon, pulling from the organized play name. But if you've ever used Manticore is a encounter generator. You can plug in, oh, I want things, you know, from level 4 to 6 and give me a fair fight. But it kind of just randomly picks monsters otherwise, you know, outside of those filters. Dungeon Moon shows you all of your actors in the world and your compendiums, including all the SRD monsters, since we have those, and helps you pick and build a fair fight for your party. So you can be like, all right, I definitely want, you know, a couple kobold sky claws, and then I want them led by, you know, this drow, and then it'll tell you how close you are to a fair fight, and then you can search and filter across your stuff and then spawn it right into Foundry and be ready to fight.
That's really
now cool. You have to remember, if it's a kobold fight, it should never be fair.
Well, of course, but, you know, at least tell you how unfair it is according to the rules.
And on as far as the modules go, it's always hard to do a recommended module list because they change so quickly, and the people's preferences are so different. Like, I've been using Foundry forever, and I have like 8 modules, and there's another helper in the Foundry community who has like 130. A lot of modules are very purpose built, so they do like one small function. Two that I can't live without, one of them is Dice So Nice, which is the 3D dice module. And the other one is one that I manage, that's Dice Tray. It gives you a row of clickable dice buttons right below chat. A lot of my players just want to roll a D20 sometimes and not have to remember how to type that out. And that's why I made that.
Do you maintain a recommended modules list for 13th Age in particular? Just things we integrate with in nicely in our documentation. Things like we use targeting a lot in the system, and there's a couple of modules that make targeting a lot nicer. So, you know, we try our best to recommend modules that make our features nicer. But it's up to the GM and player of what you want to install.
And if there are any 13th aid modules, I keep an eye out for them and try to absorb them into the system if they look useful.
Awesome. You know, you guys reached out to us and I really appreciate that. Like, I like the work that you are doing. I already feel like just the stuff that we talked about today addressed it a lot of the, and again, I don't want to say they were issues. As you guys have made it pretty clear, Foundry is really great if you have the time and sort of the super user mentality. And I feel like you guys have a good mindset with that, but also keeping an eye for, you know, people like Becca and I who are like, I just want to download it. I want to be able to like put my characters in it and go. And so I really appreciate trying to balance both of those as you go forward.
We do have hopes that one day we'll be able to work with Pelgrane Press on a more official manner and get the Dragon Empire campaign setting or some of the non-SRD things like is Demonologist non-SRD?
I don't think it is, yeah.
The SRD basically stops at Bestiary 1. A lot of that stuff is still OGL, like if you look in the copyright in front of the book, but they haven't been added to the SRD itself. And because we're using the compatibility license, we have to stick to the SRD and not the OGL. There's a lot of distinction on all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. But we hope that one day in the future, you'll be able to go and buy from Pelgrane Press, the official 13th Age, Bestiary Tour, things like that. And then it'll be ready to go in Foundry and take advantage of all those things, art, descriptions, monster stats, all that.
That'd be amazing.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Another thing too, we're in both the main 13th Age Discord and the Foundry Discord, and I've also got notifications on in a bunch of those channels, so I tend to notice a lot of things that happen. So try to be very responsive, and if people have like a good idea or a common pain point, I'm like, yeah, that's a problem, and we should fix that sometime. So.
Well, I really appreciate you guys taking time out of your day to come on and just kind of give a more expansive and kind of behind the scenes view of both Foundry and the 13th Age system. Mark and Becca, do you have any final questions or comments to follow up?
I got two things. One of them, like I said, we run a different system, the Dark Eye. Nick shared a link with me, and I would encourage people listening, if they're wondering about Foundry, on YouTube, Encounter Library did a fantastic 10-part series on the basics of how Foundry works, and it made it much easier for me to go, okay, this is great. I like it. You can see the features, and he shows you how they work. The examples I was watching was 5e, but it's easy. The basics of how to do things in Foundry, how to import things, how to put music in was fantastic. I recommend it. And I would say, since I wasn't on the last interview, I would recommend Foundry, especially for new users. The entry point is great.
Again, guys, thank you to Matt and Cody for coming on. Check out Foundry. Their Discord channel is very responsive. I was able to get a lot of help there. As Mark said, there's some YouTube resources that we'll link to in the show notes. And then if you're on Foundry or you're on the 13th Age Discord, Matt, can we share your Discord name in case anybody has questions?
Discord name is Sacalypse, and the user number part on the end is 1867.
All right, awesome. So guys, thank you so much. It's been a great time chatting with you. And also, if you have not checked out the 13th Age game that is being streamed on the Pelgrane Press Twitch channel, go check that out. Cody, you want to give us just a brief overview of the campaign for people who may not know that it exists?
Absolutely. So not all the campaign is available on YouTube. It got picked up in the middle of our campaign, but we are running a standard 13th Age setting. We're running through the eyes of the Stone Thief. There is a great civil war between the dwarves and the elves, as they are ought to do, with the party being close to the border and intersecting the two of them. They currently have one of the eyes of the Stone Thief and aren't sure what they're going to do with it, and are mucking about in Shadowport in order to try to find the second one and decide whether or not they're going to try to tame the beast themselves or, slay it. And we always are having on guests and such to the stream, so we hope to have some of you as guests in the future.
I think we would all be very down for something like that. So let's keep chatting, and then if we do a... You guys, are you into Glorantha at all? Have you done any 13th Age Glorantha?
I've been recommended the setting over and over again, but this was, you know, we're still in our core 13th age setting, so, you know, gotta save Glorantha for, you know, campaign two.
We may have to rope you into a Glorantha one shot here with 13th age sometime soon.
Absolutely.
All right, well, we will be back in 2 weeks with more Iconic, and if you have any questions or comments on this episode, please leave us comments on the website. That's actually why we are here doing this episode, this follow-up episode. So until next time, stay safe, stay healthy, stay gaming, and we will talk with you in 2 weeks.
And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron at patreon.com/iconicpodcast.
Well, you've been listening to the Iconic Podcast.
If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can contact us at iconicpodcast@gmail.com or call and leave a voicemail at 720-924-1706.
And be sure to check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and new episodes.
Thanks for listening.